Today, Market High Wire Act continues. Just don't look down. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, across to Europe and Asia, and then in Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. Markets are fickle beasts, especially in the run-up to the year end. And we saw again attempts to push higher despite the rising vertigo, helped by a continuing parade of companies saying they're making bigger profits than analysts had expected. Indeed, the global MSCI index rose another 0.57% across the week, while the Stoxx 600 in Europe was up 0.41%, although it was slightly low on Friday, as US stocks flirted with all-time highs, but then paired gains after a dated read of the Federal Reserve's preferred inflation gauge, and as Treasuries had their worst week since June. The S&P 500 rose 0.2%, dropping back from a 0.6% jump, to put it within a whisker of October's all-time high. Nasdaq climbed 0.3% on Friday, and the Russell 2000, the gauge of smaller companies, wavered between losses and gains after closing at a record high on Thursday. For the week, the S&P 500 gained 0.31%, the Nasdaq rose 0.91%, and the Dow climbed 0.5%. All three indices recorded a second weekly advance, therefore. And the VIX was back to 1540. Had the S&P 500 finished the day at a record, it would have marked the latest time the US stock market had powered past what appeared to be a debilitating set of worries. Most recently, those concerns centered on what the Federal Reserve will do with interest rates, whether too many dollars are flowing into artificial intelligence technology, and if sharp drops for cryptocurrencies would bleed over into other markets. The UK's FTSE 100 edged low on Friday, logging a sharp weekly decline, dragged down by energy and financial shares, even as investors' expectations for a US Federal Reserve rate cut next week grew after US key inflation data. The blue chip FTSE closed 0.55% lower across the week. The ASX 200 added 0.2% to 8,634.60, lifting the index 0.2% for the week. And domestic data offered little justification for further easing in Australia, prompting markets to scale back expectations of additional rate cuts, and they've actually begun pricing potential hikes in 2026. Brent futures climbed 0.77% to $63.86 a barrel, and West Texas Intermediate crude futures rose 0.69% to $60.14 a barrel. Gold slid across the week to $4,227.60, and Bitcoin, while in the middle of the week, had fallen back to $84,000 US. That's the lowest level in nearly a month. After a wave of risk-off sentiment triggered heavy leveraged liquidations, it landed back up at 89,619. Official US economic data has started to stutter back to life after the shutdown, with the core personal consumption expenditures price index, that's a measure that excludes food and energy, up 0.2% in September, in line with economists' expectations for a third straight 0.2% increase. That's, of course, the Fed's favoured core index. That would keep the year-over-year figure hovering just below 3%, a sign perhaps that the inflationary pressures are still a bit sticky, 2.8% actually, exactly as economists expected. Elsewhere, a private sector payroll report from ADP on Wednesday showed a decline of 32,000 jobs, the largest drop in over 2.5 years, and a report by Challenger Graham Christmas stated that announced job cuts dropped sharply in November, but hiring intentions remained weak. Thursday's jobless claims plunged by 27,000 to a seasonally adjusted 191,000. That's the lowest level since September 2022. But then economists cautioned that distortions tied to the Thanksgiving holiday may have exaggerated the decline. So a US interest rate cut next week is now largely priced in, with bets pointing to further easing through 2026. Investors love lower interest rates, of course, because they boost prices for investments and can juice the economy. The downside is that they can worsen inflation, which is stubbornly remaining above the Fed's 2% target. Speculation over Kevin Hassett's potential nomination as the next Federal Reserve chair was already rippling through the bond market, and BCA research says the shift could mark the end of the Fed's long-standing consensus-driven approach to policy. Such a shift would contribute to higher interest rate volatility and a larger term premium, a pattern already visible this month, as the 10-year premium jumped in early December. The 10-year was last at 4.14%, while the 2-year, which typically moves in step with the Fed rate expectations, was at 3.565. The US consumer does appear to be spending still, as delayed data from the Commerce Department showed. Consumer spending accounts for about 2/3 of economic activity in the US, and it rose 0.3% in September to match the estimate from economists after a downwardly revised 0.5% gain in August. Ulta Beauty helped lead the market on Friday and jumped 13.5% after the retailer reported stronger profit and revenue for the latest quarter than expected. CEO Casey Stillman said its customers were broadly feeling pressure, but Ulta saw growth across its categories, particularly in e-commerce. It raised its forecast for revenue over the full year. Another encouraging signal for the holiday shopping season came from Victoria's Secret & Co. It delivered a milder loss for the latest quarter than analysts expected, and it likewise raised its forecast for sales over the full year. Its stocks rallied 12.1%. A separate report said US consumers appear to be downgrading their expectations for inflation coming in the near future. They're now forecasting 4.1% inflation for the year ahead, down from their forecast of 4.5% last month. That's according to the University of Michigan. That's the lowest such reading since January. But it's important because heightened expectations for inflation can create a vicious cycle that only worsens inflation. Elsewhere, Warner Brothers Discovery was also strong and rose 1.9%. Netflix said it would buy Warner Brothers for $72 billion in cash and stock following its pending split from Discovery Global. The deal for the company behind HBO Max, Casablanca, and Harry Potter is not a sure thing, though. It could raise fears at the US government about too much industry power residing in Netflix. Shares of Netflix initially fell more than 5% after the deal was announced, then briefly erased all of the losses before falling again by 3.4%. Paramount Skydance, which earlier had been seen as a front runner to buy Warner Brothers, fell 7.7%. In tech, Oracle came under pressure as questions over funding of its AI investments still hangs in the air. In currency markets, the dollar was down against major currencies after snapping a 9-day losing streak in the previous session. The greenback has been weighed down by Fed rate cut expectations. Dollar index eased 0.1% to 98.98, but that's still a second straight week of losses. The euro was flat at 1.644 against the dollar, and the dollar was up 0.14% at 155.36 against the Japanese yen. Japanese government bonds have led a global debt sell-off this week. Yield on 10-year Japanese government bonds have hit their highest point since the middle of 2007, while 30-year yields have hit record highs after the Bank of Japan gave its strongest signal yet that rates were likely to rise this month. If they do proceed, that will take the policy rate up to 0.75%, the highest since 1995. With the Bank of Japan widely expected to deliver a rate rise just as the Fed resumes cutting, investors are buying the Japanese yen against the dollar as interest rates in the two countries edge towards each other. Traders frequently borrow the yen to then sell it and buy higher-yielding assets in dollars, like tech stocks or cryptocurrencies, a practice known as a carry trade. A stronger yen puts billions of dollars invested in this trade at risk. In commodities, benchmark copper futures rose after Citi upgraded its price forecast based on supply concerns and expectations of a Fed rate cut. Brent crude futures rose 0.8% to settle at $63.86 a barrel, while US West Texas Intermediate crude rose 0.7% to settle at $60.14. For the week, Brent was up about 1% and WTI was up about 3%, marking a second straight weekly gain for both contracts on increasing expectations of the US Federal Reserve cutting rates next week. That, of course, could boost economic growth and energy demand, as well as reflecting geopolitical uncertainty that could limit supplies from Russia and Venezuela. Gold futures fell 0.17% to $4,207.60 an ounce, and silver was up 2.25% to $58.80 an ounce. Next week sees a parade of central bank policy decisions, with the Reserve Bank of Australia coming on Tuesday, the Bank of Canada on Wednesday, and the Swiss National Bank on Thursday, in addition to the Fed statement on Wednesday. That continues the following week with the Bank of Japan, the European Central Bank, the Bank of England, and Sweden's Riksbank. Bond investors have begun pushing back against the pace of AI spending, with rising yields putting pressure on hyperscalers' capital expenditure plans. That's according to Bank of America. Some stocks like it hot, some don't, the bank strategist Michael Harnett said in the note, arguing that credit markets are now shaping the next phase of the AI build-out, as CapEx climbs from 50% of cash in 2024 to 80% in 2026. The team continues to prefer AI adopters over companies funding large-scale infrastructure and highlights Main Street cyclicals like home builders, retail, paper, transportation, RETIs, as offering the best relative upside heading into 2026. Tech firms saw their biggest outflows since June at $1.1 billion, a move that aligns with Harnett's caution around CapEx-heavy tech spending. Materials drew $1.6 billion, their strongest in 7 weeks. European stocks closed in a mixed fashion on Friday. The DAX index in Germany was up 0.7%, the CAC 40 in France fell 0.1%, and the FTSE in the UK declined 0.5%. German industrial orders rose more than expected in October, rising by 1.5% on the previous month, the Federal Statistics Office said, ahead of the expected 0.4% gain. Despite this relatively healthy release, Germany's economic recovery will remain subdued next year as exports struggle and global trade slows. That's according to a forecast by the German Economic Institute, IW, which was released earlier on Friday. The IW forecast Germany's real gross domestic product will grow only slightly this year by just 0.1% after 2 years of contraction before hitting 0.9% next year, marking a notable increase. The European Central Bank also meets, of course, as I said. Unlike the Fed, it's widely expected to keep interest rates unchanged at its final meeting of the year. In the European corporate sector, Swiss Re forecast higher net profit for 2026 and said it would launch a buyback program of $500 million. The Zurich-based reinsurance said on Friday that it expects to achieve net profits of $4.5 billion in 2026. That's above the net profit of more than $4.4 billion that it expects for the current year. UK's FTSE 100 edged lower on Friday, logging a sharp weekly decline, dragged down by energy and financial stocks, even as investor expectations for a US Federal Reserve rate cut next week grew after key US inflation data. The blue chip FTSE 100 closed 0.5% lower, while the mid cap FTSE 250 was little changed, with both ending the week in the red. Oil and gas stocks led the sell off, tracking oil prices. Shell was down 1.4%, while BP fell 2.6%. Bank of America Global Research cut the latter's rating to underperform from neutral. Analysts predict that lower oil and gas prices combined with declining refining margins will put pressure on free cash flow next year. And they note that share prices across Europe's major oil companies already reflect $65 Brent long term, suggesting limited potential for significant gains. Heavyweight banks dropped 1.2%, with Standard Chartered, Barclays and HSBC falling over 1% each. Aerospace and defence shares fell, with BAE Systems and Rolls-Royce marginally down. Trustpilot shares jumped 13.3% after a Morgan Stanley upgrade, despite short seller claims. The Global Review platform said it rejected allegations made by short seller Grizzly Research. In other UK market news, shares of Big Yellow Group, PLC, fell 4.3% after Blackstone Europe announced that it would not proceed with a takeover offer for the company. The decision followed Big Yellow's announcement on Thursday that it had concluded that there was no basis to continue discussions with Blackstone and would not extend the put up or shut up deadline of December the 8th, 2025. The UK housing market showed signs of cooling as house prices held steady in November, showing no monthly change after a 0.5% rise in October. That's according to the Halifax House Price Index. The average property price edged up by just £139 to reach £299,892, marking another record high despite the slowdown in growth momentum. Annual price growth decelerated to 0.7%, down from 1.9% in October. That's the weakest rate since March 2024. Asian stock markets were mixed on Friday, with most regional indices holding steady amid divergent central bank signals, while the Reserve Bank of India reduced interest rates as expected. The Reserve Bank of India cut its key repo rate by 25 basis points to 5.25% on Friday, delivering a widely anticipated reduction as policymakers sought to support growth amid easing inflation pressures. Governor Sanjay Mahatra said inflation had eased significantly and was likely to be softer than earlier projections. The central bank also reaffirmed confidence in the economy's momentum, upgrading its estimate for real GDP growth for the financial year 26. Rate cut bets had somewhat diminished before the decision due to strong economic growth and a slide in the rupee to record low levels. The Nifty 50 index inched up 0.2% after the rate cut. In Tokyo, the Nikkei 225 fell 1.5%, reversing gains seen earlier in the week as growing bets on a Bank of Japan rate hike weighed on sentiment. Investors reacted to comments from the Bank of Japan governor earlier in the week, which was interpreted as hawkish, and the topics also slid. Elsewhere in Asia, China's Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite indices were largely flat. Hong Kong's Hang Seng edged 0.2% lower, and South Korea's KOSPI gained 0.7%. The Australian share market rose for a second consecutive week, edging higher on Friday as investors paused ahead of critical interest rate decisions in the US and Australia next week. The ASX 200 added 0.2% to 8,634.60, lifting the index 0.2% higher for the week. Domestic data offered little justification for further easing, of course, prompting markets to scale back expectations of additional rate cuts and actually beginning to price in potential hikes in 2026. Capital.com senior market analyst Carl Rodder said global markets had entered a holding pattern ahead of the US Federal Reserve's call on whether to lower interest rates. Price action is choppy, and there remains a modest bullish bias. Stocks are waiting for confirmation of a US rate cut before pushing higher. A dose of dovish language is also probably going to be needed for markets to get a run on, he said. On the ASX, materials led gains after UBS upgraded several miners and lifted its lithium demand outlook by 11% through to 2030. The move helped IGO jump 7.1% to $6.93. Mineral Resources gained 4.6% to $50.15. And Liontown climbed 4.8% to $1.32. Newmont rallied 2.8% to $138.20 as gold prices hit a six-week high. Technology stocks were mixed. NextDC rose 3.1% to $13.86 on its partnership with OpenAI. Megaport gained 3.4% to $13.24 as it appointed Lisa Hennessy to its board, while WiseTech Global slipped 0.7% to $73.32. Among the banks, Westpac advanced 1.1% to $38.09. Commonwealth Bank was up 0.7% to $154.21. National Australia Bank was up 0.9% to $40.86. And ANZ was flat at $35.33. Bendigo Bank rose 2.5% to $10.38 as Victorian police arrested four people in a money laundering investigation linked to a branch. Macquarie was at $195.79. Premier Investments tumbled 15.9% to $15.22 after issuing first-half guidance that was 18% below RBC's estimates. Rio Tinto fell 1.5% to $138.47 after Barclays noted the miners' 2026 production guidance came in 3% below consensus. Betmakers slipped 5.4% to 17.5 cents after signing an agreement to acquire the Las Vegas dissemination company. Reflecting the expectation of high rates, the two-year was at 3.95%, while the 10-year was at 4.712%. The Aussie was at 66.41 US cents and 49.81 UK pence. As Chris Joy highlights in the AFR, the outlook for interest rates appears highly uncertain at present, with striking global cross-currents in play. What we do know is that spendthrift Aussie politicians will 100% bear the blame for any interest rate hikes that do materialise, he said. And as I discussed with Tarek Brooker yesterday, they are responsible for the burnout economy. Whereas the US Federal Reserve is all but certain to reduce its cash rate to broadly in line with its Aussie equivalent in December, financial markets have concluded that the local easing cycle has ended with a target cash rate of 3.6%. In fact, it looks like the Fed is lagging the Reserve Bank of Australia in a cyclical sense. As was the case here a few months ago, traders are forecasting the Fed will ease its cash rate down to a terminal level of around 3%, which is in line with its estimate of long-term nominal or neutral rates. For many months, markets had expected the RBA to do the same thing. After a sequence of stronger economic data releases, though, these hopes have been dashed. There is now one full interest rate hike penciled in by the end of 2026. That, of course, is artificially precise noise. The most probable outcome is that the RBA is likely to be sitting on the sidelines for an extended period of time. The challenge for the monetary policy mandarins is that politicians are pumping the economy full of more and more unproductive cash, crowding out private activity and driving actual inflation a lot higher than it would otherwise be. At the federal level, the annualized monthly trend budget deficit has deteriorated rapidly from $12 billion in December 2024 to $24 billion in June 2025 and is now $35 billion in November. This deficit represents the shortfall between public revenues and spending, and it does not account for spending at the state and local government levels. The brutal truth is that interest rates in Australia would be significantly lower were it not for this pork barreling. The advent of the pandemic opened the door to untrammeled cash splashes. The RBA has to wear some of the blame in this respect. It was the central bank that enthusiastically encouraged federal and state politicians to borrow and spend as much money as they could during this shock as a form of insurance against extreme downside scenarios. And with the RBA under the cosh, federal and state politicians have become wizards at placing more and more of the population on the public purse. So the question is, are you really going to vote for less public spending when you are personally profiting from it? And Joy concludes, if we want to avoid interest rate hikes, we need to dramatically pare back public spending. We need to back our people rather than our politicians to power prosperity in an extraordinarily competitive world. Now, over in crypto, Bitcoin slipped on Friday, but held most of its gains from a sharp midweek recovery as traders remained focused on expectations of that US Federal Reserve rate cut and also the inflation data. The world's largest cryptocurrency was around 1.4% lower at $89,621. Earlier this week, Bitcoin had briefly fallen towards $84,000. That's the lowest level in nearly a month, after a wave of risk-off sentiment triggered heavy leverage liquidations across crypto markets. Institutional inflows have slowed compared with earlier quarters, leaving Bitcoin more vulnerable to rapid price swings driven by derivatives activity and sentiment shifts. Bank of America said on Thursday that it will begin allowing its wealth advisors to recommend crypto allocations to client portfolios starting January 2026, marking a major shift for one of Wall Street's largest banks. Under the new policy, advisors at Bank of America Private Bank, Merrill and Merrill Edge will be able to suggest regulated crypto exchange traded products with a recommended allocation of 1% to 4% for a client portfolio. The bank said the change reflected growing client interest in digital assets and the desire by some investors for exposure to thematic innovation, while emphasizing the risks and volatility associated with cryptocurrencies. Most altcoins edged lower on Friday, tracking Bitcoin's moves. World number two crypto Ethereum fell 2.1% to $3,035. World number three crypto XRP declined nearly 3% to $2.024. Now, the big question is, does the recent drawdown reflect a change in fundamentals or is it more about excess speculation being flushed out, as BCA strategists have suggested this week? They reiterated that Bitcoin continues to function as a form of, quote, global wealth insurance asset, benefiting from limited supply and growing demand as global wealth expands. Strong gold and silver performance, they say, is further evidence of firm appetite for alternative reserves. So the question is Bitcoin and other cryptos in the same category? Well, I guess we will see. Shares of Strategy Inc., formerly known as MicroStrategy, have fallen by 43% year to date, with a substantial portion of this decline taking place in the last month. The company's bid to broaden its scope from a software firm to a Bitcoin treasury in recent years has led to conflicting opinions about the stock. Short interest in the MSTR stock has ballooned by almost 9% in the last month alone, reflecting this skepticism. Further, multiple analysts have lowered their price targets for the stock after its latest earnings report in October. Still, both crypto bulls and those who believe in Strategy's software operations see the current volatility as a potential entry point for high-risk, high-reward portfolios. One reason investors have shied away from MSTR in recent weeks is rumors that it may be delisted from the MSCI indices because of its reliance on Bitcoin. Delisting would undoubtedly cause further volatility, as it would prompt exchange-traded funds, mutual funds, and institutional investors to rebalance portfolios away from MSTR shares. Responding to concerns surrounding the inclusion of billions of dollars worth of Bitcoin on its balance sheet, Strategy recently announced the establishment of a $1.44 billion US dollar reserve specifically to support preferred share dividend distributions and debt costs. As disruptive as a delisting might be, it represents a technical problem for Strategy rather than the fundamental one. And analysts still see the company nearly tripling in value once again, despite all those issues. Hope over expectation, I ask. But standing back more generally, well, things remain interesting into the year end as the high wire acts continue. Just don't look down. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.